We acknowledge that we are on the traditional lands of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples' spirit, imagination, and rich history of storytelling and humour that is an inspiration for all Australians.
Hello, welcome to another episode of The Bearer of Weird News. As always, I am your host and the suppository of all wisdom, Matt Harvey. Guys, this episode is brought to you once again by you. Yes, you, the wonderful members of the Patreon. As always, this is your responsibility. You are 100% responsible for all of this. Like it or not, this is your creation. And much like the child that we weren't sure about having in the first place, it has now found its own pathway, and while you may or may not approve, you will love them anyway. So thank you for all your love and all your support that has allowed us to find this pathway to bring us to this moment. If you would also like to become a loving parent of the bullshit arts, yes, become a patron of the bullshit arts by joining our Patreon. That's patreon.com/Matt Harvey Stuff. Though, as much as I appreciate all of your support, you could not do it alone, nor would I expect you. It is a Herculean task to carry this much bullshit. So, it's on to our larger sponsors, and as usual, we've got some of the best sponsors around. This episode is brought to you by one of our biggest. It is International Day of Human Spaceflight. That's right, we've gone intergalactic, celebrating the beginning of the space era for mankind, and reaffirming the important contribution of space science and technology. It is International Day of Human Space Flight. Or at least, that's what it used to be about. I think we can all agree that recently, especially this year, International Day of Human Space Flight has taken a bit of a shift. Space flight itself has taken a bit of a shift. So this year, International Day of Human Space Flight will celebrate the spending of ill-gotten wealth by needlessly blasting someone who might make a good PR stunt into space, thus generating positive news that will help cover up the fact that this is only possible because of the various acts like the scraping of wealth from the backs of your workers, denying them toilet breaks, maybe forcing them back into the office during a pandemic, and whenever you can get away with it, denying them paid time off, or basic human rights as a worker, even when they're genuinely injured. Not everyone will get to go into space in their lifetime. And let's be honest, if you're listening to this, it probably won't be you. You overworked worker you. But we should take a moment to celebrate the achievements of those who go out of their way to underpay you so that they can build a factory in space where one day, if you're lucky, you'll get to work. When the planet starts to fall apart due to the continuous burning of fossil fuels, by sending those very same rockets into space, the circle of neglect will be complete and you will finally achieve spaceflight by going out and working in the harsh radioactive conditions. Huzzah! Hooray for International Day of Human Spaceflight. But of course, guys, as we all know, this wouldn't be at all possible or necessary without any of my live shows, and I have so many coming up. So I'll be in the Melbourne Comedy Festival for one night only on April 11th at the Chapel Off Chapel. So if you have time, come on down and check that out. I think it'll be a really fun night. Sydney! I'll be coming to the Sydney Comedy Festival with my storytelling show, I Got Bit by a Monkey Once, on May 3rd and May 4th. Now, I'm aware that May 3rd is Election Day. That happened after I booked in my dates. So please, please, if you know anyone in Sydney, if you're in Sydney, come out. It would just be nice to spend some time with people consoling, celebrating, or hiding from the news for an hour or so. I'll then be going off to San Diego for the San Diego International Fringe between May 14th and May 25th. I have 5 shows in that time. So if you happen to be out that way, if you know anyone who lives out that way, do send them my way. I will be then flying off to Reykjavik to do the Reykjavik Fringe from June 2nd till June 10th. And when I return, I will be going to Darwin for the Darwin Fringe from July 17th till July 20th. And in Edinburgh, I can finally announce I've got a venue for Edinburgh. So I'll be there with at least one of my shows. I'm trying to bring both, which still trying to lock down a second venue for the second show, but I will be doing Wage Against the Machine at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival from July 31st until August 24th as part of Just the Tonic. But until then, guys, until then, I will be the bearer of weird news. So let's get into the headlines. A discount grocery store in Germany is selling pop-up panic rooms made with reinforced steel and bulletproof vests. And you thought Aldi had weird items in the middle aisle? Ooh, it's nothing like this. I've never once walked in and felt like it was preparing me for a civil war with people who insist that ASMR of people eating is something that I absolutely must listen to. No, it isn't, Stephanie. No, it isn't. I don't need to hear the relentless sound of a person chewing in my ear. If I wanted to listen to the sound of chewing, I'd stick my head into a lion's mouth, because at least then the chewing would end quickly and I'd never have to listen to it again. Now, the rooms do come in any color other than pink, red, and white, and with the option of a bench, magnetic lights, and a dry toilet. And let me just say, if the choice was to die in the apocalypse or hide in a room with a bench and a dry toilet, I say, let the apocalypse take me now! A babysitter in Kansas got a bit of a shock after she was asked by the child that she was looking after to check under the bed for monsters, only to find a full-grown man hiding under the bed. The man, Martin Villalobos, fled the scene and was eventually caught and charged with aggravated impersonating of a monster and a poorly rebooting of a popular movie franchise. Myanmar's military has announced a temporary ceasefire to speed up relief and reconstruction efforts following the latest earthquake. Now if only we could have an earthquake strike Israel, maybe they'll declare a ceasefire that they'll actually stick to. The AEC found that posts made by Abby Chatfield with Anthony Albanese and Adam Bandt did not violate AEC rules regarding political authorization. Yeah, it seems they decided that if nobody was going to call out News Corp on their bullshit, then podcasts are fine. Who cares? How many people are really listening to them anyway? Though, they did flag the difference being Sky News doesn't openly endorse any particular candidate. They simply subtly disendorse all but one set of candidates, and that was an important distinction. An Australian man made news after surviving 100 days with an artificial heart in a world first success. But to be honest, if you think that's impressive, I know a different Australian man who seems to have survived 54 years without any kind of heart at all and refuses to die. A recent announcement said the rowing at the Brisbane 2032 Olympics might occur in a saltwater crocodile habitat. The Brisbane Olympic chief dismissed the concerns, saying there wasn't a single place in Australia where you could go and hold an event that wasn't going to be bombarded by dangerous animals. I mean, I heard the running events will be happening right in the middle of drop bear territory. A Texas-based software developer installed a kill switch at his work so that if he was ever fired, all the other users would be locked out and work would grind to a halt. One of his fellow workers said, "Hang on, you had this the entire time and you still made us do actual work? I mean, we could have been having a day off at any moment's notice." That's the end of the headlines, and now moving on to the larger news. Starting with gambling news. Australia is a country that is kind of in love with sports. I'd say we have an unhealthy relationship with them, if I was being completely honest. They are definitely the main reason that we're still in the Commonwealth, because we love winning the Commonwealth Games without any question, time and time again. There's just not that much competition, guys. Our obsession with sports seems to come from the idea that it'll lift us out of poverty. Either we'll become a sports superstar and the nation will like love us, or we'll get so good at gambling that we'll win big and we'll never have to work again. Ah, gambling. The only question you need to ask is, how much money will I win when that long shot finally pays off? Gambling, you gotta love it. We love gambling so much that we gambled on 9 years of the coalition running the country because we needed a real gambler's eye. All of these high-stakes casinos just weren't doing it for us anymore. So it's no surprise that the impact of gambling is a common topic of discussion in Australia. The question usually goes something like, are gambling companies getting enough return on investment after spending millions lobbying for politicians to look the other way on gambling addiction? Sorry, did I say lobbying? I meant bribing? Sorry, I always get those so confused. They walk into Parliament House and they say, Mr. Prime Minister, I bet you $2 million that you won't turn a blind eye to us absolutely robbing the working class blind. What's that? You'd like to double it? I'm all for that. And guys, we're going to go to the major sponsor of this story, Corbett. That's right, Corbett. The Corbett odds have just rolled in that the government will help the working class who are struggling right now, especially in the lead up to the election. The odds are 2-1 that they will pocket the money that they are given by the lobbyists and tell us it's all fine and turn the gas lamp right up to 11. Then there's 20-1 that they tell us they are forming a committee to investigate, propose a task force, and eventually to eliminate the issue by around 2050. 100-1 odds that they propose funding schools through running bets on inter-school sports. Yeah, that's right. This is where this country's heading. The school with the most athletic kids actually gets the most funding. And 1,000-1 odds, they fund public services by running the books on some kind of underground fight club where public servants show just how much they really care about getting funded by fucking each other up. Taking all bets, it's Corbett. Now, I hope you didn't go too crazy or wild with your bets because the gas line meter has gone way past 11. Now that gambling reform advocates who met with the Prime Minister's office were told that gambling wasn't as serious of an issue as something like smoking. Obviously, if it was something bad, they'd have done something about it by now, just like they did with smoking and guns. We'd have banned them indoors so that you can only bet within 10 meters of a building if you have to stand outside in the cold. Or betting slips would have a warning label on them that say, betting can cause you to dress like an asshole and act like a cockhead. Or warning that betting may result in thinking that you know how to run a $1 million sports franchise better than the best players and coaches in the world. You know, stuff like that. The reform advocates were apparently told the Prime Minister's office think that one cigarette can do damage, but one bet can't do the same amount of damage as one cigarette can do. That's a direct quote, guys. The office rep did go on to ask if these guys were so confident, they must be willing to put a bet on it. Come on, any number. I'll take any odds. 2-1, 1-1, 3-1, 5-1. Come on, guys. I just need a little fix. Just a little fix. It's not like there's nothing wrong with betting. You understand? I just enjoy it. I can stop anytime I want. I just need a little fix. Just a little fix. Daddy needs a little fix. Come on. Though I'll say, if you think one bet can't do more damage than one cigarette, then you're not betting hard enough. How are you going to lift yourself out of poverty with piddling away $5 or $10 bets? Stop being such a coward and risk it all. Be a hero.
bet the house.
What have you got to lose? Your family? Your job? Don't worry about them. You'll win a new family. You'll win a new job. You'll win two new families. Maybe two new jobs. You're going to have to get as many jobs as you can after all of the gambling debt that you'll go into. If I have learned nothing else from the history of capitalism, it is unfettered growth is the only solution. So get two families. Hell, get three families. Stack those jobs up. Two, three, four. Why not? You're going to need them when you double or triple your debt. But just never stop betting and never stop the growth. Come on! You think you'll have nothing for your kids to inherit? That's because you haven't thought about growing your debt. You'll need three or four families just to carve up that debt into manageable chunks. So go on, get out there, start franchising families. Apparently, three in four Australians are keen to see gambling ads banned. Not because they are worried about becoming addicts, but because the ads are just so fucking annoying. They're always interrupting when we're trying to watch something.
The future is artificial intelligence.
Nah, bin that. Sportsbet's new feed is powered by actual intelligence, like Wayne here.
I don't even have ads on this podcast. That's how prevalent that they are. This one just bursts through the middle of the story. Though, if three and four Aussies really wanted to stop gambling ads, they would be more committed to change. They can kick in a few bucks each, right? Everybody, just kick in a few bucks. But send the hat around. We do it at church all the time. Send the hat around. Kick it in a couple of bucks. Kick it in, kick it in, kick it in, right? And then, right? And then we can use those dollars to lobby both of the major political parties. This is how we get shit done in this country, right? Around these parts, that's how things are done. And of course, by these parts, I do mean the planet Earth. But look, before completely dropping the gambling reform proposals, Labor's plan for gambling ads was that they'd be banned online, in children's programming, during live sports broadcasts, and an hour on either side of the sports broadcasts, but limited to 2 an hour in general TV programming. Albanese said the government had appreciated that there would not be any advertising during children's programming. So, taking some real big swings this election cycle, look out, they're really going to help you out with this massive, wild gaming reform. No gambling ads during children's programming. Damn, I wanted to know what the odds were that Mr. Squiggle would finally draw something that Blackboard would be able to recognise. He went on to say that the connection between sport and gambling needs to be broken. But they have still paid good money to the government. So really, if we end up getting gambling out of sports, we're going to need to put it into something else, right? There's a lot of money that they've invested into the economy. We can't have the economy just collapsing out from under us. Maybe, this might be a radical proposal, but maybe we can get some arts funding if we figure out how to include some betting in the arts funding. And it is with this in mind that I'll be launching my new app, ArtsBet. Alright, let's lay out some bets. You're going to a comedy night. It is comedy festival after all. You can bet 2-1 odds that the lineup will be prominently white men. A pretty strong odds. Pretty strong odds. I reckon you'll get a good return on that one. You know, if you want to take it up to the next level, you can do that, right? You can do that. Because those sort of odds, they're not going to win you in a house, right? So if you want to take it up to the next level, you can do a multi. About one of these comedians will say a misogynistic statement and try to play it off as too edgy for the room, or drop a dated slur in an attempt to make a joke where they explore the possibility of them being allowed to use that slur if they do particular activities that are related to that minority group. Like, for example, how gay do I have to be to drop the F-bomb? You know what I mean? Those sort of things. Then, even if you have to sit through all the shit jokes and all the insulting language, hey, at least you can make a buck from it. Moving on now, it is election and public funding news. Exciting times, guys. Exciting times. Now, we all pay our taxes under one basic assumption, that they will then be paid back into systems that will help us run the country. basic things like public roads, hospitals, schools, and bombs to blow up those exact same things in other countries. With the election coming up, we can expect 5 weeks of politicians telling us that they know best how to spend our money, fixing the things that they did wrong. I mean, who would know better than them how to fix the things that they purposely did wrong, right? Now, one of the cornerstones of Dutton's election campaign
will reverse Labor's increase of 41,000 Canberra public servants because it will save about $7 billion a year. That's money that we can provide back to the Australian people in frontline services.
I mean, he does, after all, want to save you, the people, money, right? That's what he's all about, saving money.
Peter Dutton's expenses have revealed that the opposition leader chartered a plane to attend a newspaper talk fest.
Well, it's one flight, guys. Economy ticket, no in-flight meal, what could it possibly cost?
Being opposition leader does come with some perks from the public purse. Peter Dutton chartered a plane from Canberra to Tamworth to attend at a cost of more than $23,000.
Yeah. Actually, with the cost of flights what they are in Australia at the moment, and this is a regional flight no less, it's actually less than I was expecting. This is pretty good. Pretty good. Regional airlines, I don't know if you've flown one recently, they're quite expensive. But surely, alright, I will give you, surely he could have paid for that himself, right? He is all about government efficiency and personal responsibility. And this was just once. It's not like an analysis of expense records and pecuniary interest registers has shown Dutton has repeatedly used public money for travelling coinciding with sporting events that really undermine this whole government efficiency message that he's been pushing. That would be really embarrassing. Oh. It's empty. I guess he used up all the water too. That's embarrassing. Should really check my cups before I try and take a sip from them. Seems Pete Dutton took publicly funded flights from Sydney on the day of the NRL Grand Final and a Matildas World Cup game. I know, shocking. I didn't think Peter Dutton supported women either. But I guess this is why he wants to live in Kirribilli House. That way he won't have to take publicly funded flights to get to these sporting games. He didn't even want to give us a public holiday when the Matildas won the Women's World Cup. Like, why is he taking flights out to see them play games? It's ridiculous.
Peter Dutton has been accused of lying about asking mining magnate Gina Rinehart for a free ride on her private jet.
Oh, no, wait. Wait, yeah, actually, that actually makes sense. Seems he was only there as he was given a free ticket. Free ticket, free flight. If you want to get Peter Dutton to attend an event, he's going to need a freebie. Right, Gina? Right? Gina? Reinhardt? So this would be embarrassing if it wasn't against strict rules stating that parliamentarians are required to use expenses in good faith for the dominant purpose of conducting parliamentary business and in a way that achieves value for money? Huh. Never heard that sentence before. Weird. Oh, sorry, what's that? Oh, you don't say. It is, in fact, against the rules. Oh, that's interesting. Thank you, disembodied voice in my finger. You can rest now. Good night. You know, I've had some time to think about this. Neither of these are a violation of the rules. Hear me out. If Dutton didn't receive or actively seek out gifts from the richest people in the country, then he'd be taking that money from you, the taxpayer. So he has effectively saved us money, and all it has cost us is the future of the country. And it's not like you're going to be there anyway. Climate change will see to that. Besides, If we let him use our money, we'd suddenly be looking at a situation where five coalition senators might bill taxpayers for $10,000 to attend the CPAC conference in America. And that would be incredibly embarrassing. Now, to be fair to them, how else are they going to learn their upcoming policies if they didn't visit America and hear them delivered directly from the party that they were copying? We wouldn't want them presenting at the election with no policies at all. That'd be like last time they ran. No. And this kind of waste is why Peter Dutton wants to cut 41,000 public service jobs. There are two major advantages to cutting down on these jobs. One, less public servants means less people claiming expenses. And two, when they no longer have to pay 41,000 salaries, they have more money to spend on their own expenses. It won't even seem like they're rewarding expenses because they save so much money in the first place. It's just a cost-benefits analysis, you know? How else are they going to get the money? Otherwise, they might have to raise taxes. You don't want that, do ya? In fact, Dutton said that if he was elected, he wouldn't even need to cut taxes, as less workers will have jobs to be taxed in the first place. Unlike that Albanese guy, who's not only recklessly spending on keeping people employed, he wants to cut back on their taxes, meaning there is less money for him to claim fines with in the first place. Dutton went on to accuse the Albanese government of only doing things people like so they will vote for him. Unlike the LNP, who is willing to do the hard work of politics and Robin Hooding the poor to give more to themselves and their fellow rich, like Gina Reinhart, who desperately need more money to pay for flights for people like Peter Dutton. Do you understand? Whereas Labour has come out with some new ideas and has debuted their campaign slogan, Labour, this time we promise to do something. Labour has made a fair few promises in the lead up to the election, with a rebate on household and small business power bills of $150, a small tax cut over two stages, July 1st next year and then July 1st in 2027, that will save every taxpayer about $5 a week in year one and $10 a week in year two. A one-off slashing of student debt by 20%, which sounded great, but they actually have to follow through. That's the key thing. If they don't follow through, we'll see how we go. But if you take their slogan as any indication of what the next 3 years will look like, hey, they will definitely promise to probably definitely do something this time, for sure, maybe. On the plus side, regardless of the election outcome, back in March, for those who have a concession card, the price of contraceptive pills is going to be subsidised, as the government has come to the conclusion that these people will be fucked whether they like it or not. So they better get some protection. Moving on now, it is Dirty Money News. While we're talking about funding, let's focus on the funding of the Australian War Memorial. After it was found out that the War Memorial had been accepting funding and support from international weapons makers for years. These include Lockheed Martin, Thales, Bay Systems, Northrop Grumman, and Boeing. Unfortunately, though, they didn't spend any of Boeing's money on doors. Or else, we probably would have found out about this much earlier, as it would have just been exposed to the world, like a passenger on a Boeing jet at 30,000 feet. Critics and historians say that it defiles the commemoration of those who died at war. Basically, it'd be like if we funded the welfare system strictly from the profits of the cashless welfare card system. But forward thinkers and finance benders like Kim Beazley have other thoughts on the matter. So despite Beazley's role as a board member with defence company Lursen and as advisor to Lockheed Martin, Beazley has come out and said that this is actually great, and that we should absolutely get more money from them. And I don't love Beazley in general, but he may be onto something here. As a recent topic of saving money of government spending continues to rise, and the only place governments generally turn to is either fire people or kick people off welfare, we need to come up with some creative solutions to cover these expenses. So we will take the money from the weapons suppliers, but we don't want them to do so in secret. I think it's only fair that they get acknowledged for the work that they did. They should be proud of their work. And so should we, as a nation, after all. We give them so much money. It's kind of nice to get a little bit back. And currently, those links, well, they're not disclosed on the War Memorial's website, which is a little bit embarrassing. These soldiers gave their lives, sponsored by the hard work of your companies, and everyone should know how you supported the troops. After all, it's a good thing to support the troops, right? If you actively say that you don't support the troops, people will come down on you hard. Unless those people value the lives of babies in the Middle East, then you might have some pushback. But we're in the midst of renewing the memorial with this sponsorship money, so we can just install some big signs over the front of the memorial that simply say, Lockheed Martin, Thales, Space Systems, Northrop Grumman, and Boeing present War, a retrospective. What do you think? I hear they're looking to add a couple of additional wings. They could just be sponsored individually by each one of them. It'd be great. War Memorial Director Matt Anderson, who said he will continue to accept donations and funding from multinational arms companies. And back in 2018, $500 million was donated to upgrade the Australian War Memorial in an effort to bring Australia's recent military history to the forefront of the memorial's activities. But if I'm honest with you guys, they did a really terrible job highlighting our recent military activity. I mean, where's the wing dedicated to supporting war crimes? Where's the wing dedicated to war in the Middle East? We can break some of these wings down. Like that war crimes memorial, we can break it into smaller subsections. Ooh, it could be like countrywide crimes, and then like another section on not holding soldiers accountable for incidents of war crimes that they commit. And if we really need, that wing can just receive money from some sort of anonymous donor, you know, just for verisimilitude. But we don't really go to the war anymore, if I'm honest with you guys. War is a bit of a 20th century concept. So we're going to need an entire section dedicated to peacekeeping in Middle Eastern countries. So it wouldn't be the War Memorial, it would be like a subsection of the War Memorial, the Peacekeeping Memorial, you know? Not to mention, we've got a lot of like non-war wars, like the war on drugs, the war on the poor, the war on Christmas, all of the culture wars. So these could be like individual wings, and we could maybe get some different sponsors for them too. I imagine Fox News would be really, at least News Corp in general, could present the culture war wing. That'd be really good, although they don't really like spending money. They're really more about receiving money, but I'm sure we could talk them around. Basically, it'd be full of any war that Sky News had conscripted us into by importing American values. Moving on now, it is trade war news. You know, forget the war on Christmas, move over the war on terror and fuck right off, culture wars. This is a new war. This is a new war that the US has instigated, but not officially declared that it is part of the trade wars. Pow, 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 pow. Die. Accountants? I don't know. Liberation Day has just passed and Trump has set about liberating the world. From what exactly? We aren't sure. Seems mostly he's liberating us from capitalism. As the Australian stock markets, the NASDAQ and the S&P 500 markets all took massive hits following economic uncertainty sparked by